Blog Talk Radio.
Malcolm X. A song for the ancestors, brothers and sisters who paved the way, lit the day. We owe them so much that it's impossible for us to pay. Let me say, what we must do is illuminate the path for those who are to come. And then our name will be called in the words of some future song.
A tribute.
Their seed and their spawn, they're the progenitors of humanity. They named the moon and the dawn. What we must do is understand the divine role we are to play, and our children will love us, and our names they will gladly claim in tribute. Lit the day, we owe them so much that it's impossible for us to pay. Let me say, what we must learn is illuminate the path for those who are to come. And then our name will be called in the words of some future song of tribute. Yeah, this is a piece for the ancestors, brothers and sisters who've been here and gone. Face down the oppression so that our role could be lessened, who helped us to know that we are a part of the chain of life, and we owe to our children the same thing. We need to be children the same stands on, and if we live our lives correctly, we will be blessed to one day be called ancestors. This is a verbal libation.
Yes, whose names we do not know and have yet to know. Habaragani, Hotep, Assalamu Alaikum, Shalom Alaikum, and all those beautiful words of peace. I'm your host, Brother Derek Jabril, and you're listening to The Narrative. How is everyone? Today is Sunday, 7/25/2021. And I want to say yesterday, I have to give myself a birthday mention, because on yesterday I made another successful trip around the sun. My 56th birthday, with the help of Allah, God. Life is so precious, and yet it's so fragile. When you don't know how to get out of life what you desire, and to receive from it what you desire. You know, we are here with you this afternoon. The call-in number is 914-205-5519. That is 914-205-5519. Today, we're going to be talking about the spiritual aspects of money. Money, what is it? Have you really given thought to it? Money has different levels of use. It is an instrument of trade. It is also a tool that can be used to build neighborhoods and nations. I remember the song For the Love of Money by the OJs. They laid out the case for money in a musical way. And today I want us to look at how we relate to money. Because it's in the way that we relate to it that we would have it, in the way we relate to it that we will not have it. So, you know, we're going to be perusing this thing today. And I also want to say today we'll be riding solo today. My brother, Brother Waleed Muhammad, would not be in with us today. And hopefully we'll be able to hear from him sometime next week. Or if he would like to call in, that'll be cool and make a comment. But today is you and I and the God. You know, I want to peruse the lyrics of this song this afternoon, For the Love of Money, because when I start looking into this subject, I noticed something, that black people have taken the lyrics to this song and misconceptualized the meaning that the song and the message that was trying to convey. It's interesting to just look back on your life from childhood up until now, and to go back and look at all of the cultural expressions that has actually shaped our thinking, shaped the way we look at things, shaped the things, how we move and operate. And this particular song, although it be jamming, as we say, has a nice hard beat to it, it really penetrates the consciousness. But have you really, really, really looked at the lyrics of some of the things that we accept, that we say that we like when it comes to music, when it comes to movies, when it comes to stage plays? The cultural expressions helps to change how we look at things, how we focus on things. So I'm going to peruse some lyrics today. And we're going to point these things out, because the problem is today is that most of our money situation, much of our money woes have actually been shaped from these things, from these cultural things that we have accept it without even looking into the aspects or the message and what that we have grown to accept. So we're going to start here with the love, For the Love of Money. You know the song. Some people got to have it. Some people really need it. Listen to me. Wow. Do things, do bad things with it. You want to do things, good things with it. Talk about cash money, dollar bills, y'all. And here's the chorus. For the love of money, people will steal from their mother. For the love of money, people will rob their own brother. For the love of money, People can't even walk the street because they never know who in the world they're gonna be. For that lean, mean green, almighty dollar money. Now, with music and words is something. You see, music has the ability, and with the words coupling with it, to bypass the intellect of a guard of a conscious mind. All you need is a good beat. And if you have a fool that will write lyrics that's pertaining to the negative, that fool can live inside of you and you don't even realize it. And he bypassed the intellectual God. And while you just a rocking with the rhythm, and you know how black people can rock with a rhythm, y'all. You know, we so in tune with rhythm to where we can just hear a sound, a nice driving bass coupled with a drum beat. And we would just start moving automatically. We even see it with the children. You can play a nice beat, driving beat, and the little baby be moving his head, be patting his little feet. That's how in tune we are with rhythm. However, we are going to get into the rhythm of truth as we try to do every Sunday, me and Brother Wiley, and at the time we had Brother Kendall here with us, and then we had Sister Minister Lavette Muhammad with us, and Brother Derek Muhammad out of Atlanta, Georgia. We had him, and Brother John also came and was a guest of Building Business Blocks. I think I'm saying it right, BBB. We had people on the show throughout this entire last year. And also the callers, because we also had one of our major listeners and a caller too, Brother Mitchell Muhammad, who was with us. And also you who listen to us. Okay. What we looking at? We're looking at how the things around us affect us, and why is it that money seems to elude us the way it does? We have to be retrained and reeducated every day on the aspects of money. You know, when I was a child, this song, boy, For Love of Money, man, I don't know who don't know this in the black community. And the way the OJs delivered it, man, it was masterful. The song was written by Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff, Philly International. But, boy, that beat, For Love of Money, people will steal from their own mothers. That's a condition. And you'll rob your own brother? That's a condition. You're afraid to walk the streets, women? You clutch your purse. Somebody come walking towards you, what do you do? Because you don't know. Because you got people walking around with the wrong thoughts on how to acquire money. You can say to a person, oh, just work. Work, hard work brings it about. But it's deeper than that. Yes. Yes, you work for what you want, but how do you learn to maintain what you have? Right? You can you anything in this world can be generated from a thought. Anything that you desire to build within your ability to do it. If you will apply the knowledge, then you can get exactly what it is that you're after. This week I shared with a group of men a formula for manifestation. You first start with an idea. Second, you focus on that idea. Third, you apply the amount of energy that you need to bring about the idea. And last, knowledge. You have to seek out the knowledge in order to make it manifest. The manifestation will come through the practitioner. You got to practice it. And something that you do over and over again, you begin to perfect it. This world likes to say that 10,000 times, then you will come up on mastery of that which you are practicing. 10,000 times. However, how do you practice when you talk about money? Money grows from out of habit. I'm going to say that again. Money grows out of our habits. What do you focus on? How to bring it about? We're going to talk about habit later on today. Habits with an S. But let me get back to this. As a young man, as I said before, this song by Gambling Huff shaped my first ideals of money. I wasn't given any counsel about money from my parents, the preachers, the teachers. Like most of you, I fell victim to the popular culture of song, dance, and the 70s sitcoms that shaped my values. Let me tell you something. School did not shape values for me. The church didn't do it for me. Politicians did not help in the shaping of values for me. Those type of people and places were being diminished for us through ABC, NBC, and CBS through the sitcoms. We had good times. To those of you who remember those days, we had the Jeffersons, All in the Family, Sanford and Son, Chico and the Man, Welcome Back, Carter, White Shadows, Starsky and Hutch, and Vegas. You know, black actors are casting roles, or were casting roles back then, as menacing criminals, street people who shared information with private eyes, of which some of us, even this very day, we still call snitches, or just being subservient to the whites who were the main heroes in these television scripts. The Jewish and white writers wrote the scripts for many of the black sitcoms, and we played the part, and it was not the part of intelligence. It was the part of a fool. It was funny at the time and would leave you entertained. when you left the television with no thought of the words and images that were just drilled into your mind. I mean, have you ever read the lyrics to Good Times? You know, Good Times, anytime you meet a payment, Good Times. Anytime you need a friend, Good Times. Anytime you're out from under, not getting hassled, not getting hustled. Keeping your head above water, making a wave when you can. Temporary layoffs, Good Times. Easy credit ripoffs, Good Times. Scratching and surviving, Good Times. Hanging in a chow line, Good Times. That was the part that nobody knew what that lady was singing. But that were the words. Hanging in a chow line, Good Times. Now listen to this. Ain't we lucky we got them? Good Times. Now, when the show get ready to go out, and you have the credits running on the end, listen to the words. It says, just looking out of the window, watching the asphalt grow, thinking how it all looks, hand me down, Good Times. And you know, black folks get in, yeah, Good Times. Keeping your head above water, making a wave when you can, temporary layoffs, Good Times, easy credit ripoffs, Good Times. Ain't we lucky we got them? Good Times. Now, to the people throughout the United States, to our listeners in Canada, to our listeners in South Africa, to our listeners in Mexico, to our listeners in Brazil, tell me, please, how in the hell is that Good time? Pardon me, but there are aspects in this TV theme song that does not sit well or sit right with same things. Words, as my co-host, Brother Wali Muhammad says, you know, it carries energy. We produce our own energy, as our brother have taught and said to us. And in the words, energy is carried. But when you put words and music to words, it makes it just that powerful. Because both of both has the power to bypass the intellectual guards of the conscious mind and have easy access into your subconscious mind. You can walk around all day hearing a song in your ear and you in your mind, and you just will be singing it, don't you? Same way with today in 2021. But I'm also gonna talk about this, because even in our rap community, man, it's as though things have not changed. Now, those of us who were children back in the 70s, we were inundated with these negative stereotypes when it comes to dealing with money. we was given these negative messages concerning money through the music. We were made to laugh at our condition and living in poverty through the sitcoms, and in a little small way, we learned how to exist in that poverty state of being that we were seeing over the airwaves, over the television. And it sparked a lot of conversations in the streets now, especially when getting back to For the Love of Money. No, that's all we understood. We understood the negatives of it. But I don't recall listening to a song from that era or really seeing black people in positions of where they were showing that they had great wealth. I can't remember a show that was like that. Because when most of us back then, we would see Sanford and Son, Red Fox and the Sun, there was a positive message. They had a business together. But the business was a junkyard. Nothing wrong with junk if you can turn it into money, as it seemed like Fred did, but it didn't seem like they had much money. Him and Lamont, it was always a struggle. Even though they had the business, it was always a struggle. What did we learn? We learned that Fred was funny, man, you know? But they would never show the aspects of how much, or will you ever hear, how much money did Fred and them generate in that program? You didn't hear it, did you? All you knew that he would walk up to an old raggedy looking desk and tap on it, beat on it, then the drawer pulls out, and that's where he kept his money. You see, this is how things shape our values. It shapes the way we think, the way we accept things. And unfortunately, school was supposed to have done that for us. But school did not have very much influence on my generation at the time. It was good times. It was the Jeffersons. Now, the Jeffersons made an attempt to show the black man rising up because of his business in to live in high-rise apartments. Listen to the lyrics. Well, we're moving on up to a deluxe apartment in the sky. Oh, moving on up. We finally got a piece of the pie. Finally got a piece of the pie. It took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill. Now we up in the big leagues. You and me, baby. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Sound positive. Then when you look at the show, George Nim had a nice layout. But then he was always trying to impress the white guy and keep his business. Well, there's not permanent friends in business. It can be. You can develop a relationship, but at any day now, that relationship can change. That's why I said it's not permanent friends in business. And even though our brother made it to the big top, it still he had to try to impress a Caucasian gentleman who it seems that the way the script was written that he brought in the majority of the business. Like Bernie Mac say, I'm trying to tell you a story. Most of our thinking when it comes to money have been shaped from the cultural expression. This is why we don't really truly understand it. Because those things that we have accepted into our mind, that we love, all we have done was just laughed ourselves, enjoyed ourselves into lack and want, into poverty. Now here we go. We come to the rappers now. These brothers started off giving us news and making us aware. I never forget the song I Love by Run DMC. When they first, I think that was their first song, Hard Times, spreading just like the flu. Watch out, homeboy, don't let it catch you. Prices go up. You know, they was giving you message, man. And then, lo and behold, all of a sudden, here we come with NWA. And one of NWA's shining star was Dr. Dre. Then we had the birth of what is called gangster rap. Now, let's look at it. From the 70s, we was made to laugh at our condition of lack and want. Now, here we come down to the 80s. Then here come the invention of gangster rap. Now, the rappers was talking about having money. But you get the money in unscrupulous manners. I remember hearing one rap song years ago where the guy was talking about robbing a bank or something. Go into the bank, shoot the security guard, and now you on the run. So that was your means of getting money. But wait a minute, it gets even worse. You get your money and get your paper by selling cane. Feels good, even though I, what our brother Tupac say on his song, Dear Mama? It feels good. You know, I sell rocks. This is what he said. Even though I sell rocks, I ain't guilty. It feels good to put money in your mailbox. And some of the parents, because the money was coming in from a son who's out there selling crack and some of the guys call it cane selling crack to the community. Some of the parents, unfortunately, turned and looked the other way. As long as that money was coming in. Okay, Johnny. Now, you know this ain't wrong now. But you didn't put Johnny out the house for it. No. Johnny had rain, free rain, in the home. You knew what he was doing was wrong. And it was a very, very hell of a risk to take. Because at a certain point in that, especially in the California region, and those of you in California, you know what I'm talking about. There came a time to where the gangs there start coming to kill the inhabitants of the home. They don't know what Johnny out there doing. And even if they did, you know what I'm saying? Were because you had a disagreement with Johnny, or Johnny didn't pay your money to you, it's but those of you who's peddling it and selling it to them, because there's always a distributor. You couldn't hurt Johnny or get to Johnny, but you went after Johnny's kinfolk, went after Johnny's family. Conditions. So for the love of money, people will steal from their mothers. For the love of money, people will rob their own brothers. For the love of money, people can't even walk the streets because they never know who in the world they're going to be. You know, also in that song, it says that I know money is the root of all evil. Do funny things to some people. Give me a nickel. Brother, can you spare a dime? Money can drive some people out of their minds. Boy, ain't that the truth. Got to have it. I really need it. How many things have I heard you say? Some people really need it. How many things have I heard you say? Got to have it. I really need it. How many things have I heard you say? Now I'm just reading the lyrics now. It repeated it because he wants to drive the point home. Lay down, lay down. A woman will lay down for the love of money. That's a bad one. All for the love of money. Don't let money rule you. Now think of that word, rule. For the love of money. Money can change people sometimes. Don't let it. Don't let money fool you. Money can fool people sometimes. People, don't let money change you. It will keep on changing up your mind. Money don't have life in it. It's paper. Money don't have eyes. Money don't have hair. Money don't have a brain. Money don't have feet or arms. But yet money is ruling your intelligence. I like that lyric. Don't let money rule you. it's in the way you're looking at this thing, to where you are totally negating who you are. You are a man. You are a woman. You produce money. Money don't produce itself. But yet you let the idea of having money, the idea of money, cloud your judgment as a thinking man, woman. And I'm gonna throw this into child. Because it is a shame today that children is being fed from this aspect of gangster rap today. I need money and a big booty chick to go with it. I need to have a Maserati. But yet my pocketbooks say Ford Fiesta. Don't let money rule you. What's ruling your intelligence? Is it God? Or is it the condition that you've been placed in? Because if God was ruling your intelligence, then you would see the higher things and the higher values of life, and you would seek those things, and money would become seen in your mind as being nothing but a tool in order to get you to the areas in life where you want to be. If God was ruling your intelligence, then you would see a vision in your mind. You can even generate visions in your mind through your imagination. We're going to talk about that as well in upcoming shows, because that plays a huge part in our acceptance of ourselves, and it also plays a part in bringing the things that we desire into reality. There is a law, brothers and sisters, that is called the law of cause and effect. We did a show on that. If you go back and look at previous shows, we did a show where we talked about the seven hermetic principles. And the law of cause and effect was definitely one of those principles. It says that for every cause, there is an effect. For every effect, there is a cause, right? There's no such thing as chance. Things don't come about just by chance. And you all need to realize that. If you're having a hard time in your case right now, dealing with finance, then you have to go back and look at how you accept it. Your ideals on dealing with money. Money should be secondary, or it should come later down your list. Because I'm going to be sharing something from a book, a small book. Many of you have heard the book, but I don't know how much of it that you really understood of it. But the book was called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And I like the cover on the book, because it says this, It says, this book could be worth $1 million to you. How can a book be worth $1 million to you? When you understand the aspects of what's being taught within the book, you understand that the title told you how to maneuver throughout the book. It says, think and grow rich. Think and grow rich. Thought. Thought control. Don't you know that money grows from out of the inner world of our being, the inner consciousness of our being? Yes. Everything that you see within has to be manifest without. You walk around in an inner world, beloved brothers and sisters. And have you noticed something, that within your inner world, you can create through your imagination? You are the star in your own mind, in your own brain. Uh-oh, how so, Brother Derek? Yeah, you the star. How many times have you ever died in your dream? In your vision? You don't die, do you? How many times have you been placed in situations in your imaginations, in your dreams, to where you are the victor, but it all changes into the physical aspects of life? You see yourself as a winner within, but you can't seem to produce that without, on the outside. What's causing that? You see, you're more powerful than you think. And guess what? You don't have to go to a college or a university to learn these things. You can acquire this type of knowledge for free. God ain't charging you. Some of us, we go pay up to $50,000, listen to me, to get this knowledge that I'm sharing with you this afternoon from a person who went through the same steps that you can go through in order to acquire the knowledge. There's nothing spooky about these things. These are things that you have to develop. This is why I shared with you earlier a formula by which you can do it. Idea or inspiration, whatever you want to call it. Second, focus. Third, generate the energy. Then you got to learn how to direct that energy. That's where knowledge comes in at. Then it could be manifest. You all are powerful. And you will find out that the more you become a master at whatever endeavor that you choose, you're going to find that people will pay you handsomely for the perfection of knowledge that you have on certain aspects. know, this is very important to understand, that we live in a material-based universe that is based on one pattern and one pattern alone. I know you all have heard this before in the narrative. There's only one force, and that is the life force. The universe has always existed for trillions of years, long before there was an existence of a supreme being that sparked in the triple darkness of space. You and I as human beings are patterned after the universe and the earth itself. Think on this now. We are blessed to be able to hear, smell, taste, touch, and sense. People talk about the five senses. I always speak about the sixth sense. And there's other aspects to that as well. We're not going to go into it today. You have to start looking at yourself in three dimensions when you want to study deeper about self, because we have the past, we have the present, and we have the future. The past molded us into the ideals and habits that we have presently. The present can be a great tool for you if you would understand that in the present you can change the past beliefs and thoughts that you had from the past into the present. You can change. And by you changing your habits And the thoughts and ideas that you accepted from out of the past, then you can reshape the future. Three different aspects. There's a book by Eckhart Tolle called The Power of Now. Right now, the reason why a lot of us fall short on the things that we want in life or in the situation that we find ourselves in right now is because we're not looking at who we are now. Some of us have had situations where we found ourselves in a very bad place where we don't want to be. We got to understand that the way we are right to this very moment isn't the same person that we were in the past. Unfortunately, some of us came up in households where parents, they didn't have the knowledge that they needed in order to raise children to deal with, since we're talking about money, deal with certain aspects of dealing with finance. Is it the parents' fault today that here you are, a grown man, and you still have not took the time to rechange the way you look at money today? Is it your parents' fault? Let me share something with you all from the Message to the Black Man, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad book. Monumental book. talks about a sound economic plan. And I'm just going to stop here at the first sentence paragraph. He says the economic plight of the black people of this land has so long been neglected by so-called leaders that even our own people have forgotten its basic importance. Our economic position remains at the bottom of the ladder because of this ineffective leadership and because so many of our people ignore the basic rules of a healthy economic life. We fail to develop self-leadership in economics. Self-leadership. As children, we didn't have a choice. But as adults, you have to make your choices now. So my question to you this afternoon, have you made these choices, these economic choices today, what are good choices or what are bad? And now we have another generation, we bringing up another generation of children now that have learned, not from you, but learning from an ignorant rapper to, oh, I got to sell cane in order to get this money. I got to sell drugs in order to get this money. I want to have this car. I want to have this bad-looking chick or woman for money. That way I can flash the money and she'll jump into my car. Now, this is going on in the imagination of these young people. And you wonder why. The streets, as the OJ said, it ain't safe to walk. We're coming up on the top of the hour. Thank you all for listening into the show today. We're going to take a musical break, and we're going to be back on the narrative. And when we get back, we're going to talk about more of this because we need to change the way we look at these things. I'm going to play Akilah and the Honda.
Did you realize that you KK on the beat.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh
and I'm coming for you in a beneficent mood like champions do. Always say yeah, free flowing, positive thinking. I praise the Lord for the moment, cause life could change in a twinkling. I dedicate all my moments to his higher purpose, a dire service, community reaching, and we're contemplation. I am because we are champions, one nation.
Hey,
everything I do is supreme cause I'm a queen. Ooh, I'm a champion for real. Everything I do, so don't haircut the deal. I conquer my mind and conquer my body all the time. Yeah, I think you ought to try. Conquer your mind and conquer your body all the time. Yeah, I think we ought to try.
Nikhila Honda. I like those lyrics where she said that I conquer my mind and I conquer my body. All the time, I think you ought to try. Conquering the mind. Very important aspect to what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about the spiritual aspects of money. The first hour we dealt with how did we get to where we are? Why is money such a negative thing to us? Because for the most part, whenever you talk to people who on the subject of money, especially in our community, the first thing we hear from one another, well, you know, money is the root of all evil. Question yourself. Where did you get that from? Well, we got it from the Bible. Okay. But then the Bible says, what was the rest of what that scripture said? The rest of that scripture says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Didn't that what the old days them said in that song? It's the love of it. Well, how you gonna love something that's inanimate? We do it all the time as human beings, don't we? Oh, I'm in love I love the vase that I just purchased. It's an inanimate object. Nothing wrong with loving things. But when you let the love of it start over consuming your thinking, since we're talking about money, I got to have it. Nothing else matters. Then that's when it becomes the root of all evil, because you would do anything to get it. And all you do is just help to supply the prison industrial industry. It's a game, brothers and sisters. It's a chess game. You know, you got to learn how to play the game of life. Is life a game? It can be played any way you want to play it. See, the beauty about being a human being is that I take an example of a joystick. Because a lot of y'all like to play those games. You know, with a joystick, you can go left, right, up, down, diagonally. You can do those things with a joystick, right? Well, what about maneuvering and positioning yourself in the game of life? You know, there's a brother by the name of Lou Hutt. He's a CPA. And he wrote a book called The Road to Mega Success. And in his book, which I have, it's called A Strategic Personal and Business Financial Management Guide. And on the back of his book, he gives a game board, a layout of what his book and plans is within the book. Now, he has it says start from home. That's number one. We got to start at home. This is where our change needs to take place. In the home. Why? It's because in the home, this is where all your decisions are made. And in your home, also your financial decisions, put it that way, starts from where you relax at. How do you make your home a heaven for you? How do you change the condition on how you live? How do you get the things you want? Most of your decisions, in order to better your condition, normally made within the home. You have an inspiration. You want to go take a trip. You plan your trip, right? What do you plan your trip? Do you plan your trip out there on the street? Or do you plan your trip at home? You wanna have an idea to begin and start a business. Where do you start setting those plans up at? Oh yeah, if you somebody like me, I carry a tablet around. I'm constantly writing in my tablet. So whenever I have inspiration, you know, I write it down. But for the most part, I write it down so it can help me to remember, so when I get home, I can start formulating a plan. Everything starts with setting a right course. What course do you have right now that you have set with trying to change your ideals on how you relate to money? You know, the minute you start setting a course, the difficulty factor always starts finding its way in. Because you got to understand something about this pattern thing that we talked about earlier. Everything starts small and it grows. You ever take a seed and you plant it in the, as a matter of fact, let's use the example of a rose seed. You plant that rose seed into the earth. And when the rose begin to come up, all roses is not the same color. You plant that seed, you may come up with a yellow. You may come up with red. You know? That's the beauty aspect of it. That is the end course when you see the actual flower. But what is going on when you took that little seed and you planted it in the ground? What is going on in that aspect of the seed that you can't see. You take the seed, plant it into to rich soil. Then you take water, which is the wisdom. You pour that water, and then the seed began to germinate. And then a root will sprout out from that seed, and then that root will firmly plant itself into that ground. And then as it starts growing in the darkness, then it starts to send a shoot up. And now when that shoot comes up, now the light from the sun and the light from the moon begin to penetrate within the shoot. Oh, man. You all need to think and get more deeper in your thoughts. All this wisdom around us. None of us should be struggling. But yet, we're struggling because of the way we think. You know, Mr. Hutt goes on to say that once you set your right course, then you got to avoid the classic pitfall. What are those? I say they're thoughts. They're your thoughts. Because some of us, man, we are in a microwave society now. Now, we don't have to go run to the library. Now, you can pull up a library with information within 30 seconds on your telephone now or your computer. Don't take very much today. So I want to ask this question to some of you. How come you don't do it? Most of us, we go to our computers or our telephones with the idea of, I need to really work on my financial situation. I need the knowledge on how to do this. But then you go in with good intentions. But then when you get your hands on that telephone, all of a sudden a message from Facebook pop up. All of a sudden, you go to Facebook. Then next thing you know is you got locked into a conversation with someone or got into reading something that piqued your interest. Now you done set your intention to the background now. Then you leave Facebook. Then you go to YouTube. The next thing you notice, now you locked and engaged in YouTube. While your financial situation is getting worse. And the reason why it constantly keep getting worse, because you're not focused on it. You focus on every damn thing else other than your situation. And in this world, distractions is a reality. You have to be, they have to make you distracted. Because now you can't get into the silence. When I was a child, and Brother Wiley as well, I'm pretty sure he remembers this, as well as a lot of the older brothers and sisters who listened to this program. There was a time to where television was not 24 hours a day. It would go off around about 12 midnight. Some probably will go out probably about 11, depending on the station. And back then, before it goes off, I think it was Channel 13 here in Houston, but nationwide it's called ABC. And some of the networks, that's what they are, they networks. Some program their own different programming. But I can speak for here. They used to show Wanted by the FBI before those before the television would go off. And they scare the hell out of you before you go to bed. When you see those menacing-looking characters come across their television screen, the first thing you do, you go check the front door and go lock the door. And back then, we used to have these chains that go across the door. You make sure the chain is crossed, is locked within. And then the television would go off. They would give you the national anthem, show the pictures of the astronauts standing on the moon with the flag. Then the white noise began. And this white noise would stay on all the way to 6 a.m. And for some places, I think it was 7. But you had that time. Today, you have 24-hour news cycles. 24 hours if you watch this other news station, which they call Fox. 24 hours of lies. 24 hours of slanted reporting. 24 hours of BS. Now you can't even rest now. Now your radio station now. 24 hours a day. The radio stations used to go off at a certain time at night as well. And then they resumed back the broadcasting day at 6 a.m. Now you got this constant beat that goes on. And you wonder why you can't seem to rest. But wait a minute. You supposed to be master in your own house. And you have forgotten how to do that. Because you so inundate yourself, constantly with music. Right now we are suffering with what we call information overload now. We're constantly seeking. You don't give yourself time to stop and think on what it is that you are studying on. You constantly want to seek more and more. Those of us who have got their light turned on to the knowledge of self, to the knowledge of God, to the knowledge of the devil, to the knowledge of this society, we are constantly studying day, night, day. Sun comes up, the book is open. Sun goes down, the book is open. But what are you doing in the in-between time? You have to make a living, living in a world like this. What do we do in the in-between time? Even when we at work. I mean, I'm guilty of it. I do it. I would rather have a book in my hand and studying and trying to work out a plan to change my condition rather than sitting up with a plate and eat. You would catch me for the most part walking around in the silence. And I'm not talking about just not just, you know, because you're going to, if you're walking and you're in an environment where you got a lot of people, you're going to always come to situations where you have conversations with people and you sit down and you listen to the people that you work with. But I'm talking about in the times when you find yourself working in a station or whatever and you're alone. What are you listening to? What are you thinking about? You know, the beauty of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had taught and from his teacher, Master Farad Muhammad, is the knowledge of self. That is the greatest knowledge that we can have, that we can enter into. I met Minister Farrakhan one time. No, matter of fact, well, I had the opportunity to walk up to him, but I didn't want to interfere. But he did come close to where I was, and he was speaking to a young man that I was talking to. He was a Black Panther. And the minister walked over to greet him, and he called him one of the soldiers for our people. The first time I met Minister Farrakhan was at the mosque here in Houston, Mosque 45, when he came to establish Mosque 45 here back in the mid-80s, 1986. And the minister had made mention, he said, we have been given the greatest knowledge that have ever came to a people in the annals of history. Now, you all got to think on this now. The world of man, the world of Black man, started to decline a little, not even a little over now. I would say probably now, since we in this dispensation time, nearly about 50, 60,000 years ago. I mean, we are really coming up on that 60,000 years ago. We had a fall. And in that fall, we start losing aspects of ourselves. We start losing the ability to build extraordinary structures. If you look at the Black man back then, and you look at the Black man now, you see there's a total difference. Back then, we were taking stone, and we were carving out tremendous structures out of stone. There in Egypt, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught that there were hydraulics used to build the pyramids. Well, the mystery of this world, they think that they try to tell you that that some aliens came from outer space. And these aliens built the pyramid and they left. No, it wasn't no aliens that did that. You all ready to hear this? It is you, Black people, from this particular region, our ancestors, those builders of those pyramids over there, came from right up out of you. The so-called black people of America. Your lineage, according to Master Farad Muhammad in the Supreme Wisdom, that was your people. It's no accident that even in your fallen state over here, that you are able to come up and create cultures, even out of your weakened state. You create a culture. You are culture makers. Even in the state of you not having money or the money that you want to have, you are still able to make do with what little you have. You see, you got to see yourself differently. You know, in the show description, we say that we must change the entire outlook at how we relate to money in the black, and I also mentioned the brown community in particular. We are beings of habits. Make no mistake about it. Change your habits, and your circumstances of life will change overnight. Change starts in the creative nature first, before it is manifest from the outside. We got to start exploring that powerful aspect of life for ourselves. We have to avoid the classic pitfalls. What are the pitfalls? Stop sharing your information with people who don't share your information with you. It's a waste of time. All they're going to try to do is dissuade you from what it is that you want to do. You want to build a business, brother? You want to change your home life, sister? Do it within the confines of your home. Do it in the confines of your mind. Start in the home first. Set the right course. Stop telling your vision to people who don't share your vision. You have to do like the seed. You send a shoot down into the darkness, meaning nobody can see what you're doing. Change. Once you put that seed down, now trust me, the minute you become very proficient and very grounded in what it is that you want to do, the people will begin to see it automatically, because it's going to start manifesting itself in the light, because you're starting to pull from the light now, the light of understanding, the light of knowledge. You start pulling from it, and the people will see. And that way, nobody can turn you around. But the negativity always has to come to challenge the positive. And the question is, which one will win out? If you're weak in focus, weak in faith, then the negative will win. But if you're stubborn in the truth, stubborn in what it is that you want, you can have. Look at this. Plot a positive cash flow. Do you have positive cash flow or negative cash flow? Make a list. Understand what is going on with your money. You got to put a name on every dollar that you spend, every dollar that you acquire. You got to know where your money is going. There is a program that comes on every day. It's a syndicated program by a man by the name of Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey, he deals with finances. Some of the things Dave Ramsey, what he talks about, you already know. All he does is just reaffirm to you what you know. I listen to some of those callers that call in. They be asking him on which one in particular was so crazy to me is that this man here has well over a hundred some odd thousand dollars in assets, and he calling Dave Ramsey trying to get a confirmation from him that I want to buy a motorcycle. What do you think, Mr. Ramsey, because I have my emergency fund, I have all these things together, should I buy this motorcycle? And Dave Ramsey was kind of baffled. He asked him, how much do you bring in? And the man told him, and what is your net income? Well, if you're making well over a hundred some thousand dollars a week, of which that happens, because in order to get to those type of numbers, you got to be a business owner. Because I've seen times to where when I used to work at a company called ADP, payroll, where some of those payroll information would come through, and you see that business owners, they pay themselves handsomely at the end of the pay period. This is where a lot of our mistakes at. We don't pay ourselves. We have to learn to plot a positive cash flow for ourselves. For the most part, a lot of our stuff go out negatively, and it puts our accounts in the negative. Let me ask you all something, I'm not going to be stepping on your toes. But do you really, really, really have to have a beer at the end of a work day? Do you really? Now, I understand addiction, but do you really have to go out and buy 5 packs of cigarettes? In order to go out and just to have something to do every day. Do you really have to have that? What about Jack? See, most people know that. I mean, now there's some sanity there now. Most folks don't wait. We'll wait to drink the hard stuff on Friday. So like the OJs have songs are living for the weekend. Is that what you live for the weekend for? Living for the weekend, that's when I party down. Some people, unfortunately, they go and take their money and spend it on these things. It may appear to be small in financial aspects, $8 for cigarettes. You can get beer, what, $7, $8 or something like that, probably $9, ain't no telling, because everything went up now. 6 packs of beer. For I would say, I just say $8 as well. And don't forget the taxes. that helps to eat up your money too. Now, you paying all this money on a weekly basis. Have you ever sat down at a table and wrote out exactly how much money was spent? By the end of the year, if you time it by the end of the year, and you look at that staggering number, and you wonder why you have negative cash flow that's outweighing your positive cash flow, then you understand why it is that you are in the situation that you are financially. Dave Ramsey said this, which I am in total agreement with. He says that personal finance is 80% behavior and only 20% head knowledge. Now, what if we flip that and say personal finance is 20% head knowledge, 20% behavior and 80% knowledge. Change the dynamic, don't it? Because what's keeping us in the situation that we are in is our behavior when it comes to dealing with money and finance. That which you throw away in vices, that which you throw away in inordinate behavior. Some have gambling problems. And gambling is something else, man. It really is. Because you can score big. Ask the people in Louisiana. Some of y'all listening to us. Ask the people in Louisiana. When the casinos came. See, I have family there. People in Louisiana, they don't sleep like you and I. Many of them will wait till the children go to sleep, and they will leave their homes to go to the casinos. And let me tell you something. Boy, when you score big, you score big. But then you go back after you done score big instead of leaving, your mind start talking to you. You know, you can win a little bit more. The next thing you notice, you scored $1,000. Then you turned around and you fed the machine. And the machine is constantly talking to you. Come on, Joan. You know you can get it, Joan. Come on. Bet it all, Joan. Next thing you know is Joan started off with $100,000, made it a $900 gain. And turned around and refed back into the machine. Now Joan then left heartbroken because she started off with $100. Now she's going back home with $50 or $25. The pitfalls to gambling. Leverage your financials. Many of you all don't even know what your financials are. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we neglected that aspect of our life. Finance the dream. What do you want to finance? Some people want to take a trip of a lifetime. Some people want to build a business. Some people want to build wealth, generational wealth. Some people want to buy land. you're going to have to finance that. Dreams also has another aspect to it. Dreams become nightmares. Because if you don't know how to finance your home, the things you need in your home first, then how are you going to finance something that's large that will probably take $50,000 to start, $1 million that would generate up to $1 million or $2 million? You have to start putting things down on paper. You're going to have to start working things out. And still peak performance. Well, Brother Wali Muhammad says, which is always a very beautiful point. I mean, Brother taught me this, is that we create our own energy. We generate the energy. An idea is just an idea. But to put it in motion, you are going to have to do that. Let me show y'all quickly how energy operates with us. Say like you know that you have a chore to do as a young man or as an adult. You know that if you stay in a home, all homes need maintenance. Your grass going to have to be cut. Your shrubs going to have to be trimmed or pulled out. Weeds grow just like regular plants, everything. That's why every year, man, you know, you need to plant a garden in your backyard or go visit a farm. Go work if you have a family that own land. And send your children to go do some farming a little bit. Yes, it's hard work, but you learn how to cultivate things and bring about things in your life. However, getting back to this energy thing, I know I need to go outdoors and cut my grass, but I don't like cutting grass. I don't like doing that aspect to life that we call landscape. It's just not my thing. That which is not your thing, you don't give enough energy to. See, energy can be distributed out in measurement. The higher the desire, the more energy you generate to get that, to get to that point, to bring it about. But the lower aspects that you have, then the lower the energy level that is released. I do not like cutting grass. So therefore, it's going to take me probably hour, 2 hours to cut the grass. When this is something that you like, man, you can finish cutting your grass probably within 45 minutes, and that's doing the front and the back. And cutting the grass in the front, may, the way they're making these yards so small now, will probably only take you 15 minutes. But and that's with a well made up mind, because you generated the energy for it. So now you out there pushing that lawnmower nonstop. Boom! Right at 15 to 20 minutes, you're done. But if you don't want to be out there doing it, then you constantly pushing that lawnmower, and you thinking at the same time, man, it's hot out here. Oh, man, you know, man, now I got to cut off the lawnmower to go remove this pine cone or something like that. Get out of the way, dog. you know, and you just fighting, fighting within yourself. Therefore, it causes the energy level to go down. It's time to turn that thing around. When it comes to entering into dealing with changing the way you deal with money and the way you look at money, it's time to change that aspect around. Start adding a little bit more enthusiasm into that. Instead of giving in to the first thought that always pops up in your mind, is that, man, I ain't got enough money to pay this. How am I going to pay this? But yet you find the money to go buy cigarettes. You find the money to go buy alcohol. You find the money to go buy weed or marijuana. You find the money for those things that takes money from you, but you can't find the money or the knowledge or the insight in order to take the money that you have and to grow the money that you have. Now, if you do those things, that's why I say, I'm not trying to step on nobody's foot. That's the situation you find yourself in, and that's the situation, that's the water you're in. And most people who do those things, that is the water that they love to be in. That's the water that you're in. But the minute you want to change yourself, change your circumstances, you're going to have to come out of that water. There's no way around it. You're going to have to change your ways. Personal finance is 80% behavior and 20% head knowledge. Flip the script. Make it 80% knowledge, 20% behavior. And when you do this, the things that you are doing that's robbing you of your wealth, you'll find that now you done gained wealth. And boy, when you start gaining, then you wanna start looking into it even more deeply than what you do. Change is inevitable when we're talking about money and rechanging the aspects of our lives. You got to tighten up legally. You don't have to get your money by ill-gotten means. Ask anybody that have done that. How long were they able to keep their money? A thief, the reason why a thief got to continue on stealing is because the money don't stay with them long. You go in and steal $500, then you end up losing it very quickly. You can't keep that $500 within a week. Because you constantly got to try to justify the wrong that you just did. And how do you justify it? Some people justify it by getting high every day. You see, I stole the money. I got the money so I can buy anything I need in order to deaden what I did. Some would sell drugs to make money. But how long do that money last with you? Well, you got to go pay Ray Ray. Or no, let's go to the root of where a lot of this is coming from. Because Ray Ray is just a peg on the ladder. He became your distributor. But who did Ray Ray get his stash or his cash from? Ray Ray got to go pay whoever he get his product from. And then later on up the peg, than that one that Ray Ray paid, you're going to find out that Ray Ray is paying somebody of a different nationality, different race. You have to look at these things. You, the seller, you dealing with chump change. The distributor is a little bit more above you because you're paying him. And the distributor goes to the manufacturer, so on and so forth. So you have to tighten things up legally if you want to keep it. It's not written that you have to go sell drugs in order to make money. It's not written that you have to go sell women in order to make money, which is a horrible thing to do. Very horrible thing to do. You need a pinpoint strategy. That's what you need. You need to change the way you educate yourself. When I first came into the knowledge of self, this is what I used to do. I used to play Mr. Farrakhan's speeches over and over again. I would fall asleep listening to the minister. I would go to different talk shows and listen to them. I constantly place myself in an environment of always pursuing knowledge. Now knowledge is at our fingertips now. What are you pursuing in your time? I'm not trying to pursue vain things, because with vain things, it can only produce vain things. The Bible speaks about vain imagination. Well, if you don't have the things you want now, then can it be contributed to vain imaginations? You are going to have to work, brothers and sisters. Just by consuming knowledge is not going to get you the things that you want in this life. Yes, you know, I have my issues with capitalism, just like everybody else. However, it is the economic system that you live up under. Instead of running around talking about, well, the white man is the devil. They know that. He know that. Because you can't, the way some of these people got rich, they didn't do it by righteous means. Have you forgotten that the place where we live in, slavery, was the main money maker for them? These families that's wealthy right now that you admire, they got their money from the slave trade, from the slave plantations. Many of these big prestigious colleges, if you go study the history on them, it was slave labor, slave monies that was generated from the plantation that got these colleges and universities. The ones that we call the Ivy League. Go check it out. Most of your insurance companies, slavery, slave money. Yes. Most of the inventions you have, slave labor. The slaves had to make the work easier, right? So therefore, we came up with a lot of creative things to help to make life comfortable for us, to make work easy for us. And now we look, here we are, 2020. You have the remote control. Now this is a people now who's supposed to be no people at all, producing cell phones. Black man, the cell phone you got in your hand, black man did it. Henry T. Sampson. How come you don't know the name of people that do these things? And how come, have you ever thought about it, why the schools, with all the things that's there in the schools, they would not even teach black children that black people actually had a hand in? Look at the light. They teach you about Thomas Edison, don't they? But they don't tell you about the brother who caused the lights to be on 24 hours a day. And that's Brother Lewis Latimer. But, you know, we're coming to the end of the program. I'd like to thank you all for listening today. I enjoyed my talk with you, and we hope to speak with you next week. Tune in next week. I want to say next week, I don't know, we may go into a part two on this. Because, you know, it's not enough to know that the spiritual value and aspects of money, that's where the cause is. Okay, now we need to know the effects next. And how can this knowledge be used and put to work for us? Thank you, and I'd like to leave you as I begin with the greeting words of peace, of assalamu alaikum, of Baragani, Hotep, namaste. I love you all. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully our brother will be with us next week as well. Peace.